If there's anything I hate, hotline ringing. I need this. Hotline, you're on the air.
Yeah, take me off the air.
What for?
Stannis John, I don't want to be on the air. Take me off the air. Play a record.
We're live on the air. I can't go play a record right now, Johnny.
You familiar with the term insubordination?
What are you talking about?
I've had just about enough of you, Stan.
About what? What did I do now? You
since
know
last,
what?
Since
for
last
for
week,
weeks you've been on my ass.
I've been on your ass. Well, how would you like it if you had 100 people a day calling your voicemail and leaving threatening messages, threatening me and my family because of things that you've done?
What have I done?
These asinine little radio skits that you do. No one thinks they're funny, Stan. They're in very poor taste, and everybody is pissed off about it, and now you've taken it one step too far, and you're giving out numbers for people to buy bazookas.
Don't you think that that's a little ironic that in Boulder, Colorado, they've got books and stuff, and kids can get their hands on it?
Look, let's get this topical. I don't give a rat's ass what goes on in Colorado, okay?
You don't, huh?
Let's get it straight, but evidently a lot of people do. I've had just about enough of your nonsense.
Why are you being so ultra-sensitive about
this
whole thing?
Did I tell you to play a record?
Yeah, but I don't want to play a record right now.
You know what? You're just not paying attention. You're not a team player. Have you noticed that kick-ass Neil Young that we've put in? Have you even noticed? It's about time you woke up, man.
What are you talking about?
Okay, look.
Why are you coming at me like this? I'm doing my job.
I want you to understand the meaning of the word insubordination.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you what's insubordination.
I'm about to give you direction, okay?
You're about to give me direction.
I'm about to give you a direct order. If you don't follow it, your ass is on the street, okay?
What order?
I don't know how much more clear you want it to be.
What order do you want me to follow?
Here's what I want you to do.
What?
I want you, even though it's a day late and a dollar short, I want you to follow my direction. No, I demand that you follow my direction and treat these shootings in the manner in which they deserve to be treated. Now, I've done some research, and I've checked out how other radio stations around the country have handled this tragedy. It's about time you got with the mainstream and handled the situation in a dignified, appropriate manner.
What about you, dignified and appropriate manner?
Shut up. Shut up.
Don't.
I'm your boss. I am the boss of you. You'll do as I say. I want you to pull CDC-8.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Yes, you are.
I know. I'm not playing that.
Yes, you are. You're going to get with the mainstream right now.
I'm not playing that song.
That's the Clapton CD.
I'm not playing that song.
And while I remain on the line, I want you to get that song out. I want you to play it. And as it goes along, I want you to make up your own words that have sympathy for the victims.
I am not.
And I want you to sing it to me.
I'm not. Everybody's playing this song, and I'm not.
You do that right now, or you're fired.
Why am I doing this?
And I want you to come up with some gut-wrenching lyrics.
I'm not going to come up with any gut-wrenching.
I want you to come up with lyrics that will make people cry.
What good does that do?
I want people to feel guilty about this.
Oh. I don't know.
Go ahead.
I am not coming up.
Sing. You better come up with something, mister. You're out on the street.
Don't threaten me. Please do not threaten me. I'm just trying to do my job.
Look, I want you to come up with some lyrics that'll bring a tear to the most jaded, cynical eye.
Yeah.
Tears in high school.
I'm not tears in high school.
Sing that right now. Sing it loud.
No!
You listen to the station for the best variety of classic rock, and you won't tell me otherwise.
I won't!
If you don't do it, you're fired.
Fire me.
You're fired.
Yeah, well, I'm still here, aren't I?
Well, you better sing.
No, I'm not singing, and I've had it with you.
I'm going to come in there right now.
Go ahead, come on in here. All right, is this what the people want? Is this what you want? Huh? We all going to cry and shed some tears over this now? My God. Unbelievable. What do you want? What do you want?
Listen, you got a few minutes to chat.
It's General Manager Brad Beasley. We're on the air, Brad.
Well,
is that okay?
You go ahead and hit a song or something. I just need to chat with you for a minute.
This is the segment where we usually talk and do something here.
All right, well, I don't want to get in your way here.
No, that's okay. You know what? We've known each other too long for you to get in my way, Brad.
Well, you know, I just wanted to touch base with you briefly and let you know I heard that that interview with Jerry Mathers Beaver the other day.
Yeah.
That was just great, man.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
That was great. I don't know how you get these people on, man, but you do it. You're doing a great job.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
I couldn't be more pleased.
Thank you, and I'm pleased with the way that you handle things around the radio station, Brad.
Well, I appreciate that, Stan, and that's kind of why I'm calling.
Well, what?
I have John here with me.
Yeah?
And I understand that you and him had some issues.
He had the issues, Brad, not me. He had the issues. I'm here
now,
doing
look,
the show.
Stan, let's just calm down.
All right.
Handle this like professionals.
Okay. What?
I told John that you'd been an employee of the radio station for a long, long time.
Long
been
time.
A good employee, and
thank
I never
you.
Had any problems with. Well, you keep throwing around the word insubordination.
Yeah, he's throwing the word insubordination
just
around.
Calm down, buddy boy. Calm down.
He's throwing it. I'm not insubordinate,
just calm
Brad.
Calm down, buddy boy. I just, as a favor to me, would you just listen to him? You know, he's been in the business a long time.
Is he coming in here? Is he coming in the studio again?
I'm just going to let him talk to you on the intercom. That's all, buddy boy.
Is he in your office?
Yeah, he's right here with me, sitting here right beside
me. Brad, he's not whining to you, is he?
I just want to see if we can all calm down and get along.
I get along with everybody in this building. Everybody.
I just want to see if we can calm down and get along. And I just want you to listen to John. And I've told John that he should respect your talent.
Yes.
That you did a wonderful interview with Jerry Mathers, Beaver. Best radio I've heard in a long time.
Appreciate that.
Especially all about that diabetes made me want to go get checked myself.
Okay, sure.
But I just wanted to see, make sure we're on the same page. I told him you're a team player.
Yeah, I've always been a team player. You know
whatever
that, right?
Whatever it was, and I don't want to know. Some about some song.
No, it's that Clapton song that they're all playing. Whenever there's a tragedy.
Can you help me out here?
What?
See, John is in charge of your department. You know, we take care of you people. I take care of you too, man.
Yeah, but
can't you just do something for me?
All right, put him on. I'll talk to him.
Okay.
I'll talk to him. I won't agree with him, but I'll talk to him.
Well, I need you to do what he says, man.
You know, you wouldn't make me do the stuff that he's making me
do.
You
know what? You know what?
What?
You come by and see me. I'm getting ready to get out of here now.
Yeah?
But you come by and see me sometime. Leave me a voicemail or something.
Yeah.
Let's get together and have some lunch sometime.
Okay. All right. You got it.
And again,
you buy?
Again, man. Yeah, I'll get it for you, man. But again, that Beaver interview, man, that was something else.
So I appreciate that.
You guys are doing good work, man.
We try.
So hold on. Let me let you talk to John and I can tell him everything's okay.
It depends on what he's going to say.
No. It don't depend on nothing.
Everything's okay.
That's what I want to hear, buddy boy.
Everything's
good job on that Beaver interview. Hold on.
Okay, everything's okay.
Stan? Stan?
What?
It's John?
Yeah? What?
I just want to apologize if...
Thank you.
If I was a little harsh and if we had any miscommunication.
Right. You called me a lot of names and you fired me. You found out you couldn't fire, could you?
Well, I apologize for that. My temper got the best of me, but
right, I never saw it get that bad.
We're all professionals here, and
yes, we are.
I've spoken to Brad, and he did inform me that you had a great interview with Jerry Mathers, which unfortunately
last,
I missed
last Friday.
Right?
Yeah.
But I need you to follow my directives and respect my authority.
I respect your authority within reason, John. I respect it when, I think it's good. You think it's good. Haney thinks it's good.
Well,
everybody thinks it's good, and it's for the collective good.
Let's just get past this and take care of the business.
What business?
As I told you, I have been less than comfortable with the manner in which you've handled the...
I've been less than comfortable with the way you've handled things.
There's a word called insubordination.
You're using it again.
I just want to.
You're using that again.
There's been some miscommunication.
I want to. You tell me that I'm not.
As you know, the Jerry Mathers interview aside.
Yeah.
I've been less than pleased in the manner in which that you've approached the shooting tragedy, and what I want to do is to position your show and the radio station as a whole more along the lines of a mainstream.
Yeah.
As you know, Stan, I have many contacts in the radio business.
Yeah.
I've made phone calls around the country. I've listened
what
to tapes.
What are you hearing? What are you bragging?
People are handling it, and I feel that we need to position ourselves
Put Brad back on the
mainstream. And what I need you to do is to get that Eric Clapton CD out that has Tears in Heaven on it.
Yeah.
And you need to come up with some lyrics that
put Brad back on the phone. Put Brad back on the phone now. Put him back on the phone, John. Put him back on the phone. Put him back on the phone. Back on the phone.
He assured me there wouldn't be
put
a problem.
Put him back on the phone.
You're not the boss. You're not the boss of me. Hey, Stan.
Yeah, Brad.
It's Brad.
Hi, Brad.
What can I do for you? I'm trying to get out of here now. My kid's got a soccer game.
He wants me to play that Tears in Heaven stuff, and he wants me to make up lyrics to it. I don't get paid to be a songwriter.
You know what you get paid to do?
What?
You get paid to do what John tells you to do. Now,
that's
I tried to be
true.
Nice about this, okay?
That's not true.
I tried to be nice about this, and I want you to do what he tells you. I got to get out of here, buddy boy.
Why do you have to leave so quick? Why can't you settle this dispute, Brad?
My kid's got a T-ball game.
But you settle this thing.
I got to get out of here. I want you to do what John tells you.
Put it back on.
Is that clear?
I'm not going to sing, Brad. I'm
You're
not going
to do whatever he tells you to do, buddy boy. There's going to be hell to pay. Now, hold on.
Okay, we gonna have any more problems here, Mr. Smartass? I've got a contract. How you feel now, big man on campus, huh?
Oh yeah,
you big can, man on campus. What are you gonna do? Sure. You gonna get a gun, come in here and shoot everybody?
Yeah, you can go behind closed doors and spew your propaganda to them.
You'll do as you're told now.
What do you want me to do?
Get that Clapton CD out.
What about it?
You better get that Clapton CD out. Get out Tears in Heaven, and if you don't come up with some lyrics that bring a tear to my eye, I'm gonna fire you.
Now it's time for America's favorite daytime fun show.
I feel like the show's going to be great.
I think we got a show.
Oh, yeah, we got a show.
We definitely got a show.
Oh, yeah, there's a show.
Because this show is important.
Are you engaged to two people and want to make a choice on our show?
It's showtime.
Right show.
Did your spouse or lover leave you for a relative and you want to confront them both on our show?
Sorry about that. The show's gotten a little lowbrow.
It's showtime, baby.
All the shows will be doing it.
Thank you, America. That's our show.
What? Great, man.
Okay, it's magic time.
Well, now listen, you have a great show.
We got a great show for you today.
Woo!
Heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to tune your radio on. Now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off your feet. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney on all afternoon. Now from Naples to Fort Myers, all over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Fort Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Radio that there's ever been. The show is so damn good it makes the Pope wanna sin. The fell out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws flies and a bit of a crowd. Stand. Hot paradise. Listen to us once, and you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon.
starts with an earthquake. Birds and snakes and aeroplanes. Stan and Haney are still not afraid. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. Yeah, some things never change. Hey, everybody, welcome Thursday show.
Well, you know what they say.
Yeah.
It's better to burn out.
Yeah, than fade away.
Rust never sleeps.
Yeah. I had to make a decision. I had to make before I say I had to make a decision.
Did it weigh heavy on your shoulders?
No, Annie and I are in power of nothing, if you haven't figured that out. But I had to make a decision. What did I want to start the show with? And neither one of them were good. I mean, it was either A, talk about what I learned about Dave, because the program director, Jeff Zito, has had it with him. I'm going to leave that and set that aside. I'm not going to open up the show talking about that lame-ass bonehead.
Not today, bro.
Not today. But then I found out two things, and we say farewell to part of our childhood, and the other one is somebody that Haney and I got to meet, and he needs your prayers. First one, today's opening day of baseball. Opening day. One of the guys coming when Haney and I were kids, played 23 years in the major leagues, was a good player, has been on a Hall of Fame ballot, never got in. He passed away, Rusty Staub.
He is in my own personal Hall of Fame, and I'll tell you why. The very first real baseball glove I ever had had his signature on it.
Yeah, Rusty Staub.
So he is forever with me. That was my very first ever baseball glove. And every time I look at it, there's his name.
Huge. Of course, he was a ginger. Became a huge hit with baseball fans, both in the United States and Canada. People loved Rusty Staub because the limited abilities, but did it to the hilt. Was an all-star 23 seasons. Played with the Astros, the Colt 45s, which became the Astros, the Mets, the Tigers, the Expos. He had 500 hits with four teams. Not many people have done that. Got himself into a couple of World Series. Overall, good guy. And also did a lot of work for police and firefighters after his career. Passed away last night, West Palm Beach. Been in the hospital for a while, but I guess he had a heart attack, and he passed away at the hospital. He was 73 years old. But part of, I know with Haney and I, part of our childhood, Rusty Staub, major leaguer. The other one, this guy has been to hell and back, and he needs your prayers. And I'm talking about former Buffalo Bill quarterback Jim Kelly. Haney and I had the privilege to meet and hang out with Jim Kelly when we were having dinner with Don Shula.
And Gale Sayers and Earl Morrill.
This came from his wife. If you don't know it, for the past probably decade and a half, he's been battling mouth and jaw cancer and has made a full recovery. A full recovery after they had to take most of his jaw, his entire mouth, part of his tongue. What you see him and he looks like nothing has happened is all prosthetics, because he had such an aggressive form of mouth cancer. He nearly died, and he made his way through that still in good humor. And then this comes out. Jim Kelly had surgery on his jaw Wednesday.
after recently finding out that the cancer that he had battled had once again returned to his body. The surgery... Jesus. The surgery took nearly 12 hours.
Oh, man.
At Mount Sinai Hospital. Afterwards, his wife, Jill, posted on Instagram, "Surgery is complete. Thank God and the amazing team of doctors and nurses that took care of Jim today and will continue to take care of him as he heads into a very significant time of recovery." This is massive surgery, and he has already gone through it to the point where it took most of his lower jaw and mouth away. And he's battling it again, and this guy... Not only a great quarterback in college and in the NFL, he's just a good guy. And our thoughts and prayers are with him. And, of course, the passing of Rusty Staub. That just, you know, sucks.
Being a Dolphins fan and having the perspective of time and looking back on it. And my friend Randy Bailey is a diehard Buffalo Bills fan.
Yeah.
And what I found as time goes on is that you come to appreciate your team even more, but you learn to appreciate the rivals.
Yep.
And during those couple of years, if it weren't for the Buffalo Bills, Miami would have been in the Super Bowl every year, I think.
Yeah.
And those teams... In the same division.
It's the ones you'll talk about those stories till you're dead.
Going to war at least twice a year.
Yeah.
And it was always a good game. And, you know, to see how it ends up with Jim Kelly and Marino being buddies. And,
yeah. But, you know, you got to have those two. Or you don't have those memories.
And then we're sitting there with Coach Shula. And Jim Kelly pops by.
Yeah.
Hey, Coach.
Big hug.
Yep.
Yeah. Here's I'll tell you about Jim Kelly coming by to see Coach Shula. And this is how it happened. Jim Kelly didn't have to stop by to see Coach Shula. He was in town to play golf.
Mm-hmm.
He was at one of the big private country clubs. Played a round of golf. And drove to Shula's steakhouse knowing that Coach was there and came in specifically to see him.
Him and many others came by just to say hello.
Yep. Great guy. Thoughts and prayers with him. We're going to take a break. And we'll be back. We're Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
Hey everybody, it's D-Train here. I want to thank you all for being committed Stan and Haney podcast listeners and would love to invite you to check out the other podcasts brought to you by Beasley Broadcasting. Check out Hellbound with Jeff Zito, my World War II-based podcast, What's the Scuttlebutt Podcast, and the all-new Waterman and D-Train Show. And you can find all of these podcasts on the 96K Rock app that you can download from your app store or simply go to 96krock.com.
The battered bastards of Beasley Broadcasting. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thanks for joining us this afternoon. Coming up on the show today, we're going to give you a chance to win. We'll take a look at percentages, see if you know a certain percentage on what people say, like a survey. Later on today, our question of the week. We've got the grab bag coming up here in just a second. I want to pass along, and we're getting some texts, and unless you've been living under a rock, people are wanting to know what's all the deal with the police standing on the side of the road with their motorcycles everywhere.
Maybe they know something about you.
They don't know nothing about me. They know that.
Oh, I don't mean you. I mean the person asking the question.
Yeah.
You know what you've done. Turn yourself in.
The vice president. Going to be spending the Easter holiday on Sanibel. And
because that's such an easy place to get out of any other time of the day.
Why can't they just chopper him in there?
That's what I said. He was saying it
3 hours ago.
They got it on Sky Lockdown. They have to clear all the airspace, and I guess it ends at 3 o'clock today. I think it started at 1:30, goes until 3 o'clock. They get the vice president here. Everything's locked down. They got to get him out to Sanibel, where he's going to be, I think, for the next week.
Or they can just not talk about it, keep it incognito, and him and five CIA guys could show up and mind their own business.
Well, I wouldn't want I wouldn't want CIA around the vice president.
No, they'll know.
You know what I mean? I would keep them far, far away. And if I catch them, they're going to be in trouble.
Leaks. And also,
well, they're not supposed to be operating here.
No, nope.
Quite frankly.
And also,
unless they're on their way to Cuba.
Numerous text messages from friends of ours who have had family members going through what Jim Kelly is going through, and they all say, this is heavy-duty stuff, what the former Bills quarterback is going
through. You know, it's...
heavy stuff.
And we sit here, and we do our show every day, and knowing full well that there are those of you out there that are going through all of these things.
And you know what? If you're tuning into us and you're suffering and thank you. We hope we make it just a little bit better for you versus having to watch the news.
And you know, when D-Train just experienced it with his podcast, where, you know, something that you would actually as a human being consider important happens.
Yep.
And I think about over the years, the emails and letters that we get from people, from parents, from significant others, talking about, when so-and-so was in the hospital, it was horrible, but every day at 2 o'clock they had their radio, and it's humbling when you hear stories like that.
Thank you. Let's do the grab bag. Brought to you by the Pewter Mug, US 41, North Naples. All right, a guy promised his wife he would not, because he's cleaning him out of house and home, he would not buy any more lottery tickets. I'm telling you right now, buy any more lottery tickets, Oliver. Don't do it. You're costing us money. That's grocery money. Well, he couldn't help himself.
Mm-hmm.
Had to get one more ticket. That turned out to be a $4 million winner.
I came yesterday to go to the food line to pick up a few things, and I just kept having this feeling of this itch that says, you're a winner, you're a winner, you're a winner.
You're a winner.
I was still hesitant about coming in because I told my wife I wouldn't do it. I promised her I wouldn't do it. But so I stopped in to say hello to Herschel because I used to come here all the time. So while I was in there, I saw that ticket. And I said, Herschel, let me get one of those. He looked at it. He gave it to me. And I was scratching it the whole time thinking, you know, my wife, I promised her I wouldn't do this anymore. And so I kept scratching, and I said, I'll just do it this once. And when I got down to the bottom and the 40 matched the 40 top, I was like, okay, probably $30, $60. But when I scratched it out and saw those numbers, kind of lost my breath a little bit. And I gave it to Herschel. I said, can you tell me, is this for real? Feels great. Just knowing that I had the opportunity to be a blessing. Retire my wife, and be a blessing to my family. That's the greatest feeling that anyone can have, just knowing that you can take care of your family. So it feels great.
Yeah, his name, Oliver Davis Jr.
See, the problem is he had that same feeling approximately 5 million times in his life.
Yep, I'm a winner.
Yep. Well, what is it Bobby Bowden used to say?
Even a blind hog will find an acorn every now and again. Have you seen this video? It has gone viral. I want to know where the parents are. A guy was at a Chick-fil-A, and I couldn't do this, but evidently this guy had no problem. He went and used the Chick-fil-A restroom for a sit-down. Not a squirt, but a sit-down. And as he's in the stall, stall's locked, a little kid crawled underneath the stall. He was wandering around in the bathroom, crawled underneath the stall. The guy brings out his phone, records it as he's sitting on the commode. And the kid introduces himself and asking him, hey, will you get out of there and help me wash my hands? Just walks right in on the guy in the stall. Here, you can see. Here.
What's your name?
Andrew.
Okay. I want somebody to hold me and help me wash my hands.
I think your mom's outside.
What?
I think your mom's outside, bro. No. Can you just... All right, yeah, that's fine. Can you shut the door behind me?
You just gotta lock it.
Yeah, I'll lock it. Thanks, bro.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah. Where's the parents?
You know, want to clean hands.
I'm sorry.
Well-mannered boy.
Yep.
Especially after crawling all over the floor.
All right, this day and age, Chick-fil-A in the stall. Guy's in there doing his business. Somebody, Mr. Budinsky, walks in there, sees that. That poor guy who's minding his own beeswax goes to jail. Oh, this is sick.
Well, the guy had the presence of mind to turn on the camera.
Yup. Dateline North Carolina 911 call. Who calls the emergency 911? Guy claimed to be Jesus Christ, and he's about ready to go and steal cash out of Pizza Hut. No joke. This guy's sick.
Hotpoint 911. What is your emergency?
Yes, this is Jesus Christ, and I just broke into the Pizza Hut. I broke the window in, and I'm here. Jesus is here now. He's back to Earth.
All right, and so you don't work there?
No, I just broke in, had a pizza. I'm Jesus.
And what was your name again?
My name is Jesus.
What's your last name, Jesus?
Christ.
Okay, and what do you look like?
I look like Jesus. What else am I supposed to look like?
Why'd you do that?
Because I'm Jesus. I can do whatever I want. We're tired of Judas's on this earth. We're going to clean this earth up. So what are you up to?
Man, where do you live at?
I don't. I'm from heaven.
How'd you get over to the Pizza Hut?
I'm from heaven, sir.
Okay. And did you break a front window?
Yeah, I broke the door window, sir.
And did you eat a pizza?
Yeah. Had a Mountain Dew.
His real name... He's 46-year-old Richard Lee Quintero. He's obviously got some issues, and he's getting the help that he needs.
Well, I'm from heaven, you idiot. Do what I want.
This poor guy...
What's your last name, Jesus?
Christ. This poor guy, the chef in Canada... He has a restaurant, and vegans have been at his restaurant for, is it months? Protesting outside his restaurant because he serves fresh meat and cooks it up. He's a chef.
Mm-hmm.
And vegans have been protesting outside his restaurant, costing him business.
They don't have to go in there.
So what he did...
What's their problem?
I don't know. Well, we'll find out.
You know, he's not going into a vegan restaurant and chopping things up.
He's a free-range guy. He only uses free-range meats. So he didn't know what else to do. So he took a fresh deer. Keep in mind, it's Canada. They get a lot of deer up there, you know. And he decided that he would go and... dress the animal in the window of his restaurant.
Fresh venison.
Yep. Chef's name's Michael Hunter. He runs the restaurant. It's called Antler. He uses free-range meat. Totally locally sourced ingredients. These protesters have been outside his restaurant for 3 months now.
Deliberately brought what appears to be the leg of a deer.
That's what they're doing.
To taunt the activist, he's brought the leg of a recently murdered deer to this dining area. You can see that it's a dining area. There's cutlery, there's glasses here. We don't even know if this is legal for him to be doing this.
What?
And police are here.
Yeah,
so
called the cops. For these some pansies reason. Called the cops because a cook is dressing
and
a deer
we don't even
in his
know
own
this
restaurant.
Is, in complying with health regulations. Police are here now talking to the owner.
Why?
About his dismembering of a deer.
What is wrong with these people?
That's what I'm saying.
And they're so delicate. He didn't even bring an entire deer. He just brought their hindquarters.
Yeah, the hindquarters.
So it's not like God, man.
3 months they've been protesting in front of his restaurant.
You know what? I don't even condemn them if that's their thing. But stop going out there looking to be offended. He's got a murdered deer. What the?
Yeah, a murdered deer.
I'm calling the police.
And the police actually go in to question him.
Do you know, and of course, normal thinking people know, that conservationists want you
to go. There would not be
and,
any game
no,
if there weren't for hunters.
They would die in the winter months, especially
in
Canada.
They say a deer's life is very hard scrabble. Starvation. Would you rather get shot or ripped apart by a pack of coyote?
That's my understanding is that people that want to hunt deer now, they got a new job where they have to go hunt the coyote first or there won't be any deer.
Jeez.
Ah, these idiots.
Yep. Yep.
I can't take it anymore.
Opening day.
Excuse me, sir. Do you understand that the sky is actually green?
Find out what these people want. I'm in the middle of doing a
means
segment.
We're probably off the air or something.
Yeah, that's what I always need to check.
And if you don't agree with me that the sky is green, what are you going to do about it?
Speaking of green.
It's blue. Always been blue.
Giants pitcher Derek Holland, the opening day, was being interviewed yesterday at their last spring training game, and he thought it would be a good idea to do his impression of Kermit the Frog while he was being interviewed.
The thing is here, we're trying to watch a great game of baseball. There is the Giants. They are up 1-0. And, it's been an exciting day here. It's a little cold, but that's all right. We'll carry on from here.
Kermit doesn't wear any clothes, so that's a little tough at AT&T Park.
Well, yeah, see, when it's cold out there, well, we'll just keep it in. There's a lot of kids that are watching.
It's not easy being green, is it?
Nope, definitely not. You blend in with the grass, and people don't pay attention to you.
I have to hand it once again to Roseanne. First of all, her TV show went off the charts in the ratings, I guess, a huge 18-something share. But she was on the Wendy Williams show and took a good...
How you doing?
Took a much-needed pot shot at her because Wendy decided to question Roseanne about her thoughts of ex-husband Tom Arnold reviewing her show. Now, there's a whole bunch of dirt that was left behind there, and there's gag orders, and you can't talk, you can't say it. But that doesn't stop Wendy Williams from continuing to poke the stick at Roseanne Barr. So, Roseanne just let it slide, made reference to Wendy's husband, Kevin Hunter, who was accused of having an affair last year. And, of course, Wendy don't want to talk about that. But Roseanne slid it in there.
Tom Arnold, you guys are in a good place?
No.
Okay. Perfect. Her ex-husband, Tom Arnold, remember they were married for a moment, and he was given the assignment from The Hollywood Reporter to review Roseanne's debut last night. The shame of it all.
That is so, I was like, oh my God. I'm not supposed to talk about it. But,
After
I guess they're going to get Harvey Weinstein to review Rose McGowan's next show.
But it turns out Tom didn't give it to you bad.
Oh, I didn't read it.
Well,
I don't like talking about husbands, right, Wendy?
Well, I don't mind talking about husbands. He's fabulous. Okay. Roseanne,
Roseanne has done everything from pulling my hair transplants immediately after surgery to saying I had a 3-inch penis on SNL.
Did I do that?
So if I can give the show another shot, then maybe other people could too.
Yeah, that's real nice.
He was being shady, but he ended up being nice.
Well, you know.
I love your sense of humor. I do. I
well,
do.
Well, at least he told the truth for once about something.
Grab bag brought to you by the pewter mug. We're going to...
Right, Wendy?
Right, Wendy? We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll open up the phones, hear from you. What were they wanting to know about?
How's Chuck the Bug Man?
Tell Chuck he can call back in a few minutes.
He didn't want to talk to you.
So it's just normal.
You want to talk to you?
Remember yesterday I told him to give me a call because I might need him?
Oh, it's a personal call.
So, all right, yeah.
All right.
That's well, we're used to that.
Yep.
You're not the first one.
To get a personal call on the air.
Yep.
Well, it's not like he knows my number.
My hard drive's supposed to be full of material and I know they're just personal notes.
Yeah. We'll be back. Your phone calls 277-9600.
We're too trusting.
I know. We're Stan and Haney. Jeez.
From the Absolute Law Studios, 96 K-Rock, a Beasley Media Group station, 96.1 WRXK, Bonita Springs, Fort Myers, Naples, and Cape Coral. Rocking Southwest Florida for 30 years, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, it's Bubba the Love Sponge. Check me out mornings right here on 96K Rock from 6 till 10 a.m. Now back to my boys, Stan and Haney on 96K Rock. Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us. Phone lines are open. If you want to talk to us, maybe pick up a prize. Area code 239-277-9600. Love to hear from you.
Stan.
Yeah.
I don't think you're missing much with the Catholic Church.
Oh, did you hear what the Pope is saying now?
I think this goes a little beyond Vatican II and all that controversy.
It most certainly does. There was an interview, and then you can say what the latest is, but there was a story earlier in the week. The Pope's been talking, and he's talking out of school. And he's basically saying there is no hell. He can change anything he wants.
Yep.
He's
infallible, Stan.
Yep. And he went and said to a reporter that there is no hell. You just disappear if you're a sinner.
Yep. So that's your what the soul. Pope says. Let's check with a little pamphlet called the Catechism of the Catholic Church.
Yep. You burn in eternity.
The teaching of the church affirms the existence of hell and its eternity.
Yep. That's it.
So what do you go by?
You're supposed to go by
the
Bible.
You're a good Catholic.
Yep.
You got the Pope telling you one thing.
We've never had a Pope like this ever. That if he was running for political office, and don't kid yourself, the Pope is political. But if he was here, he'd be the so far to the left and make up his own rules as he goes along. He's got to be careful.
Aren't there like a group of Italian cardinals that would put a stop to this?
Sure, and I'm sure they're doing something now. I don't know, but they could be. 277-9600.
I mean, John Paul barely had a chance to do anything, and they said, nah, 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 nah.
Yep. Zip gone, quick. Here, have some tea.
And this guy's prancing all over the place.
Yep.
Well,
that's because we got two popes right now.
That's right.
There's two popes.
You can't.
Which we don't. It has been 500 years since there have been two popes that are still alive. Come on.
And every day, there's another scandal.
Yeah.
Evidently, they're all gay.
Grown normal man try to live a life of celibacy.
But why would you turn gay?
You're not turning gay. They figure, hey, I got a problem here. I'm going to go and join the priesthood. Not going to go and break my vows sleeping with a woman.
Oh, because that would be horrible.
Right.
I don't get it.
Neither do I. 277-9600.
Really don't get it.
No, I don't.
I would think that even if that's his personal belief, you would take on such heavy responsibility.
Yes.
Being the head of the Catholic Church, you would say, this is bigger than me. I know what I believe, but I was elected by the cardinals to represent the church.
Yeah, and he's not. Careful. Let me make a statement before I go to the phone calls. This is a statement from Stan.
What does it mean when you have two popes? Is that a bad omen?
Yeah, I don't think it's good. I don't think it's good. That Ratzenberger, whatever his name, the Rathskeller, should have died.
The German?
Yeah.
And just to be clear, I am not necessarily just picking on the Catholic Church. It just so happened to make the headlines. I'm no fan of your Joel Osteens and all that either. I think your best bet is to say your prayers and read your Bible.
Yep.
Don't let somebody else tell you.
I believe much stronger in faith than religion. Faith, to me, trumps religion.
Religion could have been a great thing, but it's simply been used for control.
Always has been. We have the Absolute Law text line, and I love getting texts from everybody. We, you know how we use it, and when people get into verbal wars with Dave or with something that we say, or you pass along some valuable information to us. And I can't go into any detail about it because I agreed we wouldn't.
Who did you agree to that with?
I just want to make a statement. There are some that I cannot read. And if you think, you ever hear the term preaching to the choir? Haney and I are the only ones that see the texts. So it does you no good to send long diatribe texts about your opinion about something. And if it's only our eyes that see it. That's all I'm going to say. Stop doing it because we already know.
Yeah. If you have an opinion, maybe direct it to someone other than us.
Stan and Haney, we've been here a long time, and I know a lot of people think we run the place. Far from it.
Oh,
yeah, Stan and Haney can take care of that. Hey, do you know? No.
I bet you I can get him on the phone right now.
Yeah. We got no say. We got no say in anything.
You know, Stan and Haney, we've been friends a long time. I've known you a long time. You've known me a long time.
Yeah.
Right? So, listen, can you get my neighbor backstage?
Yeah. We don't control anything. All right?
No, we get kicked out of backstage when we have to be there.
Precisely. So don't text about stuff that Haney and I don't have control over or we already know. Like, we can do something about it.
What we have control of is when you can hear us talking.
Bingo. That's it. Whether it's 20 minutes or 12 minutes, that's the only thing we have control over. So stop it. Thank you. 277. Thank you very much. End of statement. 277-9600. Love to hear from you.
See, what's going on right now is my idea. What goes on when I'm not talking is not my idea.
No. That's right.
So, we enjoy our time.
Yep. And when you hear silence, Haney and I have no idea.
Nope.
That's when we count on D-Train to come up with something. Oh, what?
Still working on it.
Okay. 277. So, what do you got for us, Haney?
Oh, I drifted off. Oh, I know.
Oh, and by the way, I'm adjusting our game for next break, and I had it staring right in front of me. D-Train is probably one of the biggest animal lovers that I know. He's got a zoo at his house. I've got a survey about people and pets, their pets. Going to get a Stan and Haney listener on, and I'm going to quiz both you and D-Train to see percentage-wise who knows more about their pets and who does things with their pet. Nothing illegal with their pets. We'll do that later on. 277-9600.
Oh, there we go.
Ahoy, who's this? Ahoy.
Hello? Yeah. Hey, I got you guys.
Yeah.
Oh, unbelievable. Listen, I'm new to Southwest Florida.
Uh-huh.
I'm from Bensonhurst, Brooklyn.
Couldn't tell.
Listen, you guys are amazing. Let me just get that right off the top.
Thank you.
Are we doing good?
Are we doing good?
Yeah, from the moment I came across you guys, it was just boom. Every time, 2 o'clock, it's going to be there. Right on K-Rock. So that's number one.
Thank you, brother.
Two, you guys kill me. First, these people, they think you and Stanley got it covered. No, they're just pushing it with that. Like, the Pope's got to have a sit-down and figure out.
Yep.
Not the Pope, the Cardinals. The Italian Cardinals, they got to have a sit-down and figure out what this guy's talking about.
Yeah, they got a problem.
Yeah, they got a problem. Yeah. They'll work it out.
Yeah, but what are they going to get? You're
saying there may be some new smoke in the stack?
Hey, you know what?
How new are you?
Yeah, how long you been listening to us?
I just quickly break it down. I lived here for a year in the 80s when you actually needed binoculars to see your neighbor's house.
We remember those days.
I'm not saying I used them to see my neighbor's house. I'm just saying. I came back for another year in the 90s. And I've been here for about 8 months now.
The 80s. Yeah. That was a good time.
The 80s.
Bernie Getz.
Now, how did you find us?
I'm just flipping through the channel.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. Can I get you something?
Oh, but you know what? Just give me a quick run. What do you got? Because I'm easy.
I'm going to send you over to D-Train. He's going to give you... hold on. I got it in front of me. You want to eat?
Sure, why not?
I'm going to give you $25 to the pewter mug. Great place to have a steak.
Oh, you'll love it.
Now, I'm a Sicilian, Italian here. What kind of food is that?
Prime rib, baby.
Prime rib.
Oh, my God. That's killing me.
Hold on. Thank you. That's good people right there.
Yep.
When you're out of the blue and into the black. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, gentlemen, this is Mike.
Hey, Mike.
I was just wondering, you guys have started playing music.
Mike, the only time that we have control is when we talk. Thank you. 277-9600. The only time we have control, because guess what? We don't own it.
Is it literally everything Trump does has to be criticized?
Absolutely.
Because they're talking about the VA now.
Yep. And he's got a good guy in there now.
Well, the way that they're spinning this is Trump has appointed his personal physician who has no experience running an organization. What is he doing? The guy he appointed is the White House physician.
Yeah.
Who is an admiral.
Yep.
When you get to be an admiral,
you're qualified.
Yeah. You might understand something about organization.
Yeah. Excuse me, Zito. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Chris.
Yeah, Chris.
How are you guys doing today?
Doing good, buddy. How are you?
Good, good. My 30th birthday is next weekend, and my brother sent me some of that Stan and Henny barbecue sauce.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good, ain't it?
It is absolutely amazing.
Yes, sir. I'm glad you tried it. We hope you buy more.
Oh, I definitely will be, and I'll be telling all my friends as well.
Thank you, brother.
It's a super condiment.
And happy birthday. 277-9600. What do you got? What do you do? Do I start promoting it now? Yes. Okay. I'll promote it now. Thank you for that. Starting on Monday, it's back. It's back, gang. The G spot. Chance to pick up $1,000. Going to be doing it four times a day. 11 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 6 o'clock. We'll have the safe word for you. When you hear it, we'll give you the text that you got to text to. Or you can go to 96krock.com. Four times a day. Multi-market winner. Chance. We'll get 1,000. Somebody, every 4 hours or four times a day, somebody's going to get a grand. It's fact, Jack. All right? And we want to thank our friends who have the money, Florida Community Bank. Again, I don't control this stuff. Florida, thank you, Florida Community Bank.
All we got to do is execute.
Yep. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, it's Matt.
Hey, Matt.
Why did they play a song before?
Shut up. Are you deaf? Ahoy.
Ahoy, this is David.
Hey, David.
Hey, I just wanted to give you some input on the Pope. I was raised Catholic.
You and me both.
And, I'm a commercial air conditioning service tech, and I used to live in Sioux City, Iowa. And I should take care of the Catholic diocese air conditioning. Mm-hmm. And around every major Catholic holiday, especially Christmas, people would come in, and I believe it was a bishop maybe that was in charge there.
Sure.
And just, invite this guy to their house for dinner, shower him with presents.
Oh, absolutely.
Let me tell you,
and this is the truth, and it's not necessarily even during the big holidays or Christian holy days or anything like this. If you have a parish, if you're a priest in a parish, and you've got, 200 parishioners, 500 parishioners, it's virtually every night that one of those parishioners is saying, Father John, why don't you come on over for dinner? Oh, Father John, we're going to be doing this for you. Oh, come on. They live it pretty good.
Yeah, they do. They have it pretty good.
Yep. Yeah. I remember, on my father's side of the family, all of the aunts and uncles, it didn't matter. It was a Saturday night or a Sunday after Mass. There was always a priest around there somewhere chowing down.
Now, do they get like a regular salary and a place to live?
Yes, they get a salary. It's not a lot.
Because the way Protestants handle it.
And then what is it, the rectory they live in? Some of them?
Well, in our church, we had the parsonage. So we bought a house, and right, whoever was the lead minister lived there. Yep. And drew a salary.
Mm-hmm.
And if you wanted to do something nice or socialize with him, that's fine. But it wasn't expected that you have to feed him.
It wasn't expected that you have to be a good Catholic. You wanted to. Father O'Shaughnessy, please come on over. We're going to be having a barbecue. We'd love to have you over. Thank you, my son. And I'll see you. I'll see you around 9. 2
different things.
Yeah. I gotta take a break. Unfortunately, but we'll be back. And I'm gonna get. This is gonna be fun. I'm gonna get one Stan and Haney listener. I don't care if you're a pet lover. You don't have any pets. You're going to go and see who's better with their pets or who knows their pets better. D-Train, who's the biggest pet lover that I know, he's got cats, he's got dogs, he's got birds, he's got, what else you got?
Cats, dogs, birds, that's about it for now.
Hedgehog.
Used to, got rid of that song.
Sugar glider.
My cousin had one.
Okay. All right. We're going to get one. Now, I'm going to give you an example.
What kind of cats does your distant cousin raise?
Me, my stepsister?
Oh, yeah. I can never keep his family straight.
Alabama Wildcats.
Alabama Wildcats and pit bulls.
Okay.
She used to be in the Rottweiler game, but no money in that anymore.
Too much competition.
Well, you know who did that? Yeah. Insurance.
Yep. You breed them out. We'll be back.
Yeah. Insurance. They charge too much if you want to have a, pit bull or Roddy.
Yep. Especially if you're breeding.
Oh, my God. Right off the charts.
Yep. We'll be back.
The only place in Southwest Florida where drunken idiots and law enforcement actually get along. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us. About 30 minutes away from your first look at traffic news headlines with Mark Haney, 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails. Also, if you've been getting qualified for the Metallica, a little flyaway to San Fran for Metallica night, at some point, probably within the next 30 minutes, we'll announce the grand prize winner. So if you got yourself qualified, stick around. You could wind up being a big winner. All right. I would like to, phone lines are open. I would like a pet lover, somebody that's got pets, somebody that owns a dog or a cat or both, to call in D-Train, get a random Stan and Haney listener who is a pet owner, that you've got a dog in your house. I'm not talking about somebody that keeps the dog tied up to the tree out back and lets him stay outside in the sun.
He's a good watchdog.
Yeah, I want somebody that owns a member of the family, somebody that has pets and they consider them part of the family.
You know, I got a new pet last night.
You did? What'd you get?
Dog named Boomer.
Ah.
Yeah, new game came out, and as part of the game, you can have like people help you as you.
I'm talking
as
about,
you go out, you know, to rescue people and shoot
living,
people.
Living, breathing animal,
and it's the cool thing because they allow you to choose, and you can have like a sniper help you, somebody in close quarters, or you can have the dog, and the dog is the best of them all.
Okay. But I'm talking about a real dog.
And you can pet him. You just hit the X button.
And you're petting. Okay. Okay. All right.
Okay. See, yeah. I stopped just short of pushing you over the edge.
I was almost ready to snap.
Yep.
Talking about living, breathing animals.
So let's play.
Let's play Know Your Pets. Yeah. You're going to go against D-Train. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Brandon.
Brandon, you pet owner?
Yes, sir.
All right. And you're going to have your choice if you beat D-Train. You can have dinner at the Pewter Mug, lunch at Bernie's City Diner, maybe Everblades tickets, maybe a 30th anniversary K-Rock t-shirt, something that you might enjoy. That is if you do better at knowing your pets than D-Train does, all right?
All right.
If not, if D-Train beats you, you got to tell him, you know what, D-Train, you know more about pets than I do. Okay.
Of course.
All right? All right. Okay. A recent survey was done with people and their pets, and it's like, you know, they're a member of the family.
Stan, have you thought this through?
Yep.
Because D-Train may give an answer that doesn't line up with yours, but he will never admit he's wrong.
He doesn't have to. All right, here we go. The survey was done, people and their pets. And I'm going to give you percentages, and I want 5% on either side, so you got a 10% range to go with and see if you guys get this, and if the one who gets it will get a point. What's your first name, sir?
Brandon.
Brandon. Brandon.
Yes, sir.
Brandon. And then you're going against D-Train. D-Train, say hi to Brandon.
Hi, Brandon.
Hey, D-Train.
How are you?
Pretty good.
Now, Brandon, what do you own? What do you have living in your household right now?
I've got 4 horses, like 20 chickens, and 4 dogs.
Okay. Well,
what kind of horses you got?
Yeah, what kind of horses?
A couple quarter horses, a paint, and
the other one.
Yeah, and that a pony.
Majestic animals, aren't they?
Concentrate on your dogs because these are house pets.
Okay.
Survey 5% either side. One who's closest gets it, or you don't, either one of you don't get it. It's just who gets points. All right, we'll let you both answer. D-Train, you'll go first. What percentage of cat owners let their pets sleep with them in bed? What percentage of cat owners let their cat sleep with them in bed? 5% either side will get you a point.
78%.
Brandon, would you like to guess at that?
I'm going to say 90%.
D-Train's within the range. 81% of cat owners sleep with their cats. D-Train gets the point. Same thing this time. Dogs. D-Train within 5 either side to get a point. What percentage of dog owners, 5% either side, let their dogs sleep with them in bed?
Now, obviously, a dog is a larger animal, takes up more room, can be annoying.
Not if it's a chihuahua.
Yes, but not all of them are chihuahua. So I'm going to lower that number to 69.
69%. You got to be within 5% either way to get a point. What do you think, Brandon? He said 69.
I would say 40%.
Point to D-Train. You know, 73%. Wow. Sleep, let their dog sleep in the bed. Don't worry, you got plenty of chances to catch up here, Brandon. Hey. And he's not going to be within the 5% parameter every single time. I hope not.
It's looking like it.
I know. we'll go men and women on this.
I'm not supposed to throw it, am I?
I have the... No! Well, yeah, you don't know what the... Okay, here we go. This is men and women combined. I won't even do the breakdown. This is men and women combined. What is the percentage of people that buy presents for their pets during the holidays? You know, there's got to be something under the tree for, you know, Rusty. D-Train, what percentage, 5% either side, buy their pets presents for the holiday?
I think a lot more people talk about it than actually going through with it. I'm going to say 47%.
All right, you say 47%. Brandon, what do you think?
Give me 70%.
Oh, man, you missed it by one percentage point, Brandon. D-Train doesn't get it. 64% of pet owners claim they buy their pets a present for the holidays.
Wow.
Of course, women do it more than men. 70% of women, 58% of men.
I was closer to the
buy a gift for their pet. Jeez. Mm-hmm. All right. Say along the same lines. This is just a straight number. It's not broken up between men and women. It's just a straight number. How many people, animal lovers, have bought their pet a birthday present? D-Train, within 5%, how many people have bought their pet a birthday present?
Well, since this includes crazy ladies, I got to take that into account.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back up to 71.
71%. What do you think, Brandon? How many people have, percentage-wise, have actually bought their pet a birthday present?
I'm going to drop it. I'm thinking 35%.
Oh, you again, Brandon, you were close, and you should have stayed where you were, D-Train. 45% of animal lovers have bought their pet a birthday present.
That's what I get for trying to think like a crazy lady.
You know, so often you might have a pet. Now, something tells me Brandon, who owns chickens and horses, ain't going to play this game with his dogs. But so many pet owners will cook specialty items for their pets.
You know, eggs is good for their coat.
Yeah. What percentage of animal lovers actually cook for their pets? Within 5%.
48%.
48%. Brandon, what do you think? That's cook for their pets.
That's not table scraps, right?
No. That means you're getting up in the morning for the express purpose of cooking your dog breakfast.
D-Train said 48%.
Jeez.
I'm going to say 12%.
Both of you are one's too high, one's too low.
I know somebody used to make eggs for their bulldog.
Yep.
Seriously?
Every morning.
Yep.
It's good for their coat.
31% have cooked for their pets.
That's insane.
31%. And I've known people that have done the exact same thing. They got to prepare a special meal for them. 31%, and that's not surprising to me.
I know somebody who used to microwave the food in the same microwave they used and give them bottled water.
Thank you, no. All right, here we go. Now we're getting into an area where it gets a little creepy. And I know, and Brandon, just knowing you for a few minutes, yes, you are up by two. Just knowing, Brandon, you would.
You don't want him to throw it, do you?
No, well, it's too late now. Brandon ain't got one yet.
I got to get one.
What percentage of pet owners have dressed them up in an outfit, whether it be for Christmas or for Halloween.
What if it's cold outside?
Or cold outside, putting a sweater on. Dress them up in an outfit. D-Train within five, either side. Dressed
64.
Them, 64.
Yeah.
Brandon?
My mom, roommate, everybody dressed their dogs, so I'm going to go 85%.
You guys are way high. You guys really? Are way high. 22%. Wow. 22% have dressed their pets in an outfit. All right, here we go. D-Train's still up by two. What percentage of pet owners, and we've seen it here, especially during Irma.
Wow, different world.
Sure is. What percentage of pet owners have actually brought their pet, cat or dog, to work? And I'm not talking to visit and let them see. I mean, bring their pet to work within five.
73%.
That's not good. You're working and your pet's working. You said 73. Mm-hmm. Brandon?
I'm not saying daily. They've just done it at least once.
40%.
Both of you, way off. Really? Way high. 12% again. Have admitted to bringing their pet to work. All right. Now, again, we're going way out there for these, and then we're going to go into a different area. We're way out here.
I need to get back on game.
Yes, you do. You hit the first two right off the bat. What percentage of pet owners have actually bought their pets health insurance where they're covered on a policy? Within five, bought their pets health insurance. Give me a break.
Does this include Canada?
This includes the United States of America.
Okay. 38.
You said 38%. Mm-hmm. Brandon?
Let's go 17%.
You nailed it, Brandon. You got it right on the button. 12%. Nice. 12% have bought their pet's health insurance. You're on the board, Brandon. D-Train's still up 2-1. All right, now we're going to go into actual dollars. And so I'm going to say, let's make it, let me look at this. I'll change it each time because some of these numbers are off. On average, how much do pet owners spend on their pets a year within $200 either side? So you're playing with $400 here. On average, how much money do pet owners spend on their pets each year within 200 either side, D-Train?
I'm going to go for a solid 1,000.
All right. And Brandon, each year, he said 1,000.
That's going conservative.
That's including dog food, toys,
how much? Yep, and expense. Whatnot. It's like, you know, you got a kid. You spend a lot of money on a kid. D-Train says 1,000.
I'm going to go 1,300.
I think we both went low.
No, you didn't.
Really?
D-Train, and I think you both... Hold on, let me see if he gets it, too.
You seen the price of dog food lately?
What is the price of dog food?
Between $7 and $10, depending on how big of a small bag you get.
Brandon just misses it. D-Train got it. $1,193 a year on... expenses for your pets. You missed it by $93, Brandon, but you were close. You were right on. Well, then you didn't get that. All right. As long as we're on that, let's break it down a little bit. How much does the average pet lover, this is per pet, spend on food and treats for their pets? Let's make it within $50 either way. Food and treats for their pets, according to this survey. D-Train, within $50 either way.
Well, I got to recalculate because my last answer, I wasn't including veterinarian bills.
We'll get to that.
So I'm going to go a little lower. I'm going to say 750.
So 750 on food and treats. All right.
I'm going to say 500.
Point to Brandon.
Nice.
$477 on food and treats. We got a close game here. D-Train's got 3 points. Brandon has 2 points. Let's go on to those vet bills.
Do we have to?
Yep. Average, not you. And this is on one pet.
Mm-hmm.
Average medical bills, vet bills. Let's make it within 20 either side.
Annually?
Annually.
Or orally.
Yep, depending on what you're comfortable with.
What's wrong with your cat?
Within 20 either side, annual medical bill for their pet.
I'm going to swing low and say most people don't go for regular visits. Let's say $400.
All right. Brandon?
I'm going to go lower. $275.
D-Train just misses it.
Son of a...
$426 on average in medical bills. All right. I don't know if either one of you have done this. What's the average amount of money annually that people spend on pet sitters? Whether they have to go and have someone watch the house.
This includes boarding, correct? Are you saying in-house?
It says here pet sitters. That I would assume that's in-house.
Okay.
Let's make it within 10 either side.
We're going percentage again?
No, dollars.
Ooh.
How much does do pet owners spend on pet sitters in a year? $10 either side.
Now, I'm answering this strictly on the assumption that we're talking people coming to your house. $250.
All right. Brandon?
I'm going to say $100.
You were closest, Brandon, but neither one of you hit it. $129 a year. Because, you know, a lot of people don't ever go and take vacations, or they take their pets with them. So it averages out to about $129. All right. We're going to go. I'll do two more for a chance for Brandon to catch up. Because if he. This is for you to a chance to win or tie. Let's do the $5 either side. The amount of money that pet owners spend on giving toys to their pets. Squeaky toys or pull toys or, you know, little rubber balls. And,
oh, I got it. He'll love that.
Yeah, I know. And within $5 either side.
Why don't you just get a tennis ball?
No,
that's
kidding.
What they want.
Well, that costs money, too. Unless, you know. You're a tennis player, and you got plenty of them lying around.
What you do is you go to the park, and there's always going to be a couple there. We're too lazy to go outside the gate to get it.
Within five, either side.
Somebody thought they were John McEnroe.
I'm swinging low because I really need a point to separate myself. Let's say $55.
$55.
I'm going to go with $40.
D-Train was the closest. But you
close enough for a point.
You missed it by nine. $64 annually on toys for their pets. Last one. Either Brandon's going to tie it and
now
tie.
If you have birds, you can triple that.
And a tie will go to Brandon. But he needs this just to tie. You know, they asked after all the survey was completely finished. They asked pet owners. Certainly, there's, you know, items that don't fall under these categories. Let's just call it random stuff that you don't expect that didn't fall. What amount of money do pet owners go on just random stuff? Random things that they didn't expect. Doesn't fall into any of these categories, but it's just random stuff. Let's make it within $5 either side, a $10 window. Random stuff, D-Train, that you don't expect. You're going to get it for Rusty or Puss in Boots.
I want to stick with 50.
50. Brandon?
I'm going to go 30.
Both of you way low. Way low. $97 on random stuff for their pets. Final score, D-Train 3, Brandon 2. Brandon, he beat you.
He sure did.
And you know what you got to say to D-Train?
I sure do.
Go ahead. D-Train,
you know a lot more about animals than I do.
And I don't have to muck a stall.
And hold on a second. So D-Train has cats and birds.
Yes.
And Brandon, what do you have?
And a dog.
And a dog.
I got horses, chickens, and a goat.
And a goat and a dog.
Is it one of them fainting goats?
No.
Does it scream?
Cool, is it a mean goat?
No, he's actually pretty nice. He's actually getting old. He's just lounging around the yard now.
Does it do lawn care?
Does it yell?
Yeah, does it scream?
He doesn't scream. He doesn't scream.
Oh, that's a horrible sound.
Yeah.
Is it too old to rename it?
Why? What do you want to name it?
Oh, Ashtray, of course.
You want to name him Ashtray at for us?
He's too old. He's too old.
Hold on, Brandon.
I doubt he comes to his name.
I'm going to send you over to D-Train. Pick out a prize, okay, buddy?
All right,
man. Thanks for playing. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, traffic, news headlines, 4 o'clock fluffer emails, and we're also going to go and have on the line, quite possibly, the person going to go see Metallica at the baseball game.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. We're Stan and Haney.
Had a big promotion about that.
We have a big promotion.
Whatever happened?
It ended. Now we got a winner we got to pick.
Oh, that's wonderful.
96K Rock.
We, the management of Beasley Broadcasting, would like to thank Stan and Haney for their decades of dedication to this radio station. We'd like to, but we won't. Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Today, for us, we're right smack dab in the middle of show 5994. And thank you for joining us. We're going to check news headlines, 4 o'clock fluffer,
I'm
your emails.
Proud of you, Stan. A lesser man would have stopped counting when nobody cared.
Yeah, I'm still counting. After 6,000, I'll stop counting. Our question of the week in about 30 minutes at any time. Or by the looks of it, maybe not. But at any time, we could be stopped during this to talk to somebody. Find out through our program director, if not, to just announce it. If you can't get a hold of...
program director, you mean Jeff Zito?
Yes, sir.
I've known him a long time.
Yep. I don't know if he can get you backstage. You know what? I'll say it right now. I've kept it bottled up a long time. You better have your guard up tomorrow, Dave the Waterman. If you ever, ever call our program director late at night on speakerphone with your buddy there, bragging that you've known Jeff Zito for a long time and he can get you, my next door neighbor buddy or whoever you are, backstage for a concert, and you want to keep it on speakerphone to show what a big shot you are. I got to stop. Gotta stop.
Just let it out today because I want tomorrow to be a good, positive day.
For him? For he doesn't Dave. Deserve.
Because it's going to be the debut of Dave's new song. Come on in, Jeff.
Did our producer talk to you just now?
No.
He's looking for you. This guy's not answering. Both numbers. You want me to just announce it?
Yeah, announce him. Yeah,
and not bother if he's not available.
He's not reachable.
He's right now.
He'll hopefully call you back.
That would be nice.
Yeah, you can announce. He's the winner.
All right, I'll announce it.
Okay.
I'm sorry that Dave bothered you. Last night.
That son of a bitch.
I'll have a talk with him. I don't know how much good it'll do.
He won't listen.
I just don't understand how you open a conversation with, hey, man, I'm really sorry to bother you at this hour.
But I've known you for a lot of years.
You've known me for a long time.
And I said, no problem. It must be pretty damn important. And then it was about, can you hook me up to meet Fozzie?
And he's on speakerphone?
Yeah.
That's what Stan's...
And because it wasn't for him, he could pick up the phone, call the program director of the radio station for his buddy to get him backstage to eat fuzz.
Yeah, you know, I think that's the biggest, my biggest pet peeve with anything is, please don't use me to do your buddies a favor.
Yeah. Yep.
I'll do you a favor.
If you can.
All day, yep. Right?
If you can do it.
But for your neighbor down the road,
yeah,
we're just wasting favors at that point.
Yep. And especially at that hour.
Especially at that hour.
You know, Zito's spending quality, valuable family time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's taken away from Bonehead.
I think I actually missed an at-bat.
Yeah, you probably did, watching your son play ball.
How'd he do?
He walked twice, hit by a pitch once.
All right.
You know, he
no harm, no foul.
He is amazing.
Yeah.
He is amazing. You know what?
And did a good job with that one.
Yeah.
He's going to go far.
Broken clocks right twice a day.
All right. Well, hopefully this guy will call us. We've been qualifying people here at the radio station for a couple of weeks now to possibly win Metallica Night. And we have our grand prize winner. This person and a guest, this is phenomenal. Airfare, 3-night hotel stay, and tickets to the San Francisco Giants and Washington Nationals on Monday, April 23rd for the 6th annual Metallica Night at AT&T Park.
This is the biggest deal we've done since we sent that guy to the whorehouse.
Yup! Congratulations to Nathan Walton. Nathan Walton, you're our grand prize winner. You're going to Metallica Night. 3 nights.
How about that?
Hotel, airfare, tickets. Congratulations to Nathan Walton. We tried calling you, Nathan, but you gave us bum numbers. Let's get you updated on traffic. Sorry about that, folks. But congratulations to Nathan Walton. If you can't go, Nathan, I'll take your place.
You know what? Maybe he's like me. Where you call me, but it takes me a couple of hours to get back to you.
Yeah, don't I know it.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
And then if I don't respond in 2 seconds, where the hell you been?
Well, yeah, that's just rude.
North Fort Myers. Crash, Orange Grove Boulevard.
Oh, God.
Then we got another deal up in North Fort Myers. It's a hit and run.
I can't defend myself against
Pondella
that.
Road. No, you can't.
No.
Look at this, another hit and run. Fort Myers, Park Meadows Drive. And Fort Myers, crash, San Carlos Boulevard. And you
are
up to date. Coming up in less than 1 hour, newscast of record with Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Caney. What can you expect? Well, he's going to tell you, he's got the headlines right there.
La-di-da.
Ti-da.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you you did not know. I think everybody wants to be the best at something.
Yes.
I think that's a natural human desire to want to be the best at something.
Yep.
Well, one man in England may have changed his mind about that because he was just diagnosed with, quote, the world's worst case of gonorrhea.
Oh, God! You're the best.
A number one.
Never seen a case like that in my life.
Without peer. Man promised his wife he'd stop buying lottery tickets. Good thing he's a liar.
Yep.
The Kohl's shoplifting prevention supervisor is arrested.
For what?
Shoplifting. And finally, according to a 911 call, Jesus has returned to Earth.
Yeah.
And broken into a Pizza Hut.
Yeah, one hell of a call.
Yep. These stories, and we may have to replay that.
Yep.
These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you.
You know, I can't help but notice, D-Train is a new man with those rims on his truck.
Yep, he new man. Let's laugh a little bit. They're plastic, you know. 4 o'clock, fluffer time. Mark?
Stan?
Everyone?
D-Train?
Haney.
Honey, I'm home.
Woo!
You know, she's a whole lot of woman.
Yeah. Whole lot of woman.
Let me tell you a story about a woman I know. When it comes to loving, ooh, she steals the show. Ain't exactly pity. Ain't exactly small.
A recent study says millennials are under more stress than any other generation.
Don't make me swear.
Stop boxing everybody into shit. I didn't agree to your cis world. Okay?
What?
You're a cop.
I know it.
My computer's freaking out. What the?
With that in mind, we bring you today's... Sorry about that, folks.
Yeah,
today's list of the
top
things that stress millennials.
Top things that stress millennials. Oh, they're the under the most stress of anybody. Walk a mile in my shoes!
Meals that taste incredibly awesome, but tragically don't look amazing enough on Instagram.
Yeah. Mashed potatoes,
there you go.
Gravy, yeah. And cranberry sauce.
Woo-hoo! Well, what about these eggs?
What about them? What about them?
They don't look good either.
No, you millennials.
Clumsily making a gender normative comment on Snapchat.
Damn it!
Making toast and then discovering they're completely out of avocados.
Damn it!
Slow Wi-Fi at a third wave coffee shop. Conversations that require them to remove both earbuds.
Yeah.
The appalling lack of a whatevs emoji.
Oh, I feel the same way, Jokey.
The sneaking suspicion that there might be more to life than constantly seeking validation from strangers on social media.
I knew it.
Their parents posting an eviction notice on the door leading to the basement. Everybody knows. All the good gamer tags are taken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You are right over there?
No.
Stupid mom buying Cool Ranch Doritos when you ask for nacho cheese.
Are you threatening my mother?
He's been waiting to use that one.
Yeah.
Because for a while he didn't care, and he'd just throw it in there out of context.
Because he liked it.
Yeah.
Yep. The fear that the world will run out of issues to fix with petitions signed outside Whole Foods. And finally, the very top thing that stresses millennials.
Yes.
Learning the hard way that no one wants to hire a person who majored in cyber feminism.
Dick.
And that, my friend, is the 4 o'clock.
Tune in tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel.
That's it, baby.
Woo!
Ready, Freddy?
Email.
Freddy Will.
Hi, Freddy. What'd you do?
I'm peaceable.
And he shot his wife in the stomach with a 38.
I shot my wife in the stomach with a 38.
She alive?
Yeah, she's laying on the floor.
Why don't you go check?
She might be dead.
Yeah.
I'll see if she's alive.
All right, yeah, go check for me.
She alive? I think she's dead.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you do that?
She enticed me, and she would ridicule me throughout my lifetime.
Uh-huh. Well, I get it.
Yep. I'll go down.
All right. You're going to have to. You're going to have to get a, be arrested.
And then I'll go down.
All right.
Okay.
This
nice
is...
thing about Freddie, he cares about others, too.
What?
Yeah, you care about others.
You all right?
Yeah, thank you, Freddie.
Thank you for asking.
That's it.
You're a thoughtful man.
And he's peaceable.
Yeah.
I'm peaceable.
This is from Robert. We were talking about Chuck Berry the other day.
What?
Chuck Berry. Said you were naming off a lot of songs. Nadine is the best. Saw him in Jacksonville in 1970. Chuck Berry opening for Three Dog Night. What's he doing opening for Three Dog Night?
Because they had hit records.
Oh.
He hadn't come out with My Ding-a-ling yet.
Ah, which went to number one. That blows my mind.
That's what happens when you're ahead of your time, yeah. Stan. We know this.
Yep. This is Tom. Ahoy, gentlemen. I heard Mike Chiannopoulos on your show last Tuesday. He was dead on. I was a police officer in Pennsylvania for 27 years. Spent the whole time in a car. My old man was on for 29 years. Same department. You want to know what it is with kids? It's all about parenting. I shouted loudly for years that any S-bag can have a kid, but you need a license to drive. I thank God every day that my dad was a dad and kicked my butt when I needed it. Love you guys. Signed, Tom in Estero. Ladies and gentlemen, The Guardian.
Jesus.
Yeah. Ahoy, gentlemen. Stan, there is no doubt in my mind that you will be as good, if not better, than Dave if you recorded the El Camino song.
Why can't I am just
he
begging you,
it.
Let him have this one thing.
That is, if all things are equal and you don't have to play an instrument because we all know you have fat fingers. True.
Yeah.
It really is a tragedy because Stan so wants to be able to play music and hasn't been able to find
it's my
anything.
Dream. It is my dream.
Well, the one thing you did find him only worked until Windows 98 went out of style. The Beams.
Oh, I loved the Beams.
I found that for you.
You did find that for me. And
because
it
said anyone can play it.
And I did somewhere. I've got one of my songs, but he's absolutely right. It was for Windows 98, and they upgraded, and the thing never. There was supposed to be like patches for it to fix it, and never, ever, ever worked right again.
Fun while it lasted.
Stan, I got a question for you guys. Didn't years ago in the morning days you start the show with Johnny Cash and the National Anthem? Sure did. Finally remember back a few years.
Yes, we did.
Yep. That the big scandal was Trey Radel and buying some nose candy. Compared to all the lies and deceit today, it makes Trey Radel look like he got a jaywalking ticket. You guys are the best. Signed, The Guardian.
He's done it again!
He sure has. He sure has.
If The Guardian gets a hold of that new Peter Schweitzer book, we're all in trouble.
I saw it at the bookstore. Saw it there. It was sitting there.
When it is laid out, and he's a very good writer. You and I were talking about this. This is the guy who wrote the book Clinton Cash.
Yeah.
And he has a new one out.
Names.
And Biden and Kerry are in deep trouble.
Yep.
So is Mitch McConnell.
Yep.
When it is laid bare in front of you.
Yep.
With factual information.
They're all in everybody's pockets.
Well, see, the thing is, And you've said it for years. They're all corrupt.
They are.
And, you know, you go through life and you know it, but you figure they're too smart to ever get caught.
Guess again.
And you see it laid out where you see exactly what they're doing. They're not all that smart.
No.
And you see the corruption laid bare.
Yeah.
And Maxine Waters is the most corrupt,
by
the way.
Watch out for her. Watch out for her at Waters, Maxine Waters. That's a hard cue. There, we'll be back. We're Stan and Haney. Our question of the week is next.
How dare he?
Do you like pina coladas and getting caught in the rain?
Then why don't you go pound some sand up your ass, you boob, ya?
Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. About 30 minutes away from Mark Haney and the news. We're going to check traffic here in just a second, but it's Thursday, and we're going to be posing to you our question of the week. You have the right answer. It's not a yes or no answer. And we were talking earlier about pets. So many people consider a pet part of the family.
They sure do.
They sure do. It's not a pet for our amusement. It's a part of the family. They have feelings just like our kids.
What the?
Okay, but with that understood, we go to our question.
Having said that.
Yeah, we go to our question of the week. We'll pose to you our question, do traffic, and give you a chance to call in with your answer. Remember when you were a kid, maybe it wasn't until you left home and were on your own, but for a lot of kids, this happened. You had the family pets, yeah. But then there was the one pet that your parents said to you, that's yours. You're going to feed him. You're going to clean up after him. You're going to take care of him. You're going to take him for walks. Make sure you groom him. That's your pet. That's yours. Not our. That's your pet. What was your first pet? Yours. Not the family's pet, but your responsibility. What was your first pet? 277-9600. Your first pet. Oh, sure, Rusty was the family dog. But you wanted what, and that was your responsibility. What was your first pet? 277-9600. Not your family's, your first pet. Let's get you updated on traffic, and then we'll take your phone calls.
Now, K-Rock Traffic.
All right, let's see where to begin. We will begin in Cape Coral. Got a crash. 2600 block of Del Prado Boulevard South. Then we head to Fort Myers. A lot of accidents here. Maida Lane and Gladiolus.
They've been popping up frequently.
Yeah. And one more for you. It's in Lehigh Acres. Crash, Williams Avenue and Lee Boulevard. And you are up to date. Question of the week. Everybody had the family pet, but you were given the responsibility of your first pet. What was it? 277-9600. Not the family's. It was your job. And I'll tell you what mine was. I was allergic to everything. So my
That's true. And you grew up on a farm.
Yep.
Allergic to everything.
My first pet was a boa constrictor. My dad knew a guy. That got a reptile place.
I was going to say he knew more than one.
And he said, I need you to get my son a boa constrictor. Not the one you see in the little pet shop, the little 12-inchers that grow. But I need something that's a little bit larger than that and give him the responsibility to take care of something. And he said, we'll get it in. Give me a day to get the ticks off of it because it's just been shipped in. Boa constrictor was a 5-footer. Had it for a lot of years.
What was its name?
Eve. It got loose in the house one time and lived in the attic for about 3 months and grew another foot. When it finally came down,
wonder what it found in the
attic.
Took
care of all the birds' nests that were up in the gutters and came back down and was looking for food. I just simply picked it up, put it back in the cage. First pet, Haney.
That was my responsibility?
That was your responsibility.
It remains one of my unfulfilled goals from childhood. I always wanted a German Shepherd.
Yeah.
It just got in my head. I don't know if it was Rin Tin Tin or what, but I always wanted one. And my parents decided that I was ready to have my own dog. And I think I may have been like 12. And took me to the Humane Society. And there was a dog there that looked sort of like a German Shepherd.
But not quite.
Had some German Shepherd in him.
Right. Mix. Shepherd mix.
Mm-hmm. But smaller.
Yep.
And I don't know where the dog came from. Obviously, I got it from the Humane Society. But it had issues.
Oh, yeah.
It was a good boy.
Right, but had issues.
He was a crapper.
Couldn't be house trained.
Yeah, no matter what I did.
Yep.
And I mean, I could take that dog out, but when I took the dog out, his idea was it's playtime.
Right.
It just never connected.
Bring him back in the house.
He assumed the position. Yep. You know, hindquarters quivering. So. I had a lot of fun with that dog. I like that dog, but
had to go.
One day, I think it was a Saturday morning, and I had been encouraged to do extracurricular and volunteer stuff, and so I had joined the Civitan Club, and all of us went to work that day as volunteers for the Special Olympics. And so I think I'm doing this good thing, and we're there probably about 5 hours. Went there early in the morning and then come home that afternoon feeling good about myself. Where's Rocky?
Yeah.
Well, son,
he went to the country. Yeah.
And that sticks with me. You see what happens when you do something nice?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Get something taken away from you.
Yep. Yeah. That's the lesson I learned.
This guy lives right up the street. Lobo. His son's my golfing buddy. One of them.
So does Lobo listen to us?
He's familiar with us.
Lobo knows my name.
Yep. D-Train, first pet that was your responsibility.
Rodents.
Oh, jeez.
Your favorite.
What, did you have a gerbil?
No. Who do hamster? I look like, Richard Gere? No.
My sister had a hamster.
Yep.
This happened before pet stores were responsible and only carried one sex of mouse. I bought two mice, and before I knew it, I had about 20.
Oh, yeah, that happens a lot, or happened a lot.
Yep, you end up with little pinkies.
Yep, the pinkies.
They're in a 50-gallon aquarium, and it got full pretty quick. And at some point, I think they were dropped off at a pet store that specialized in reptiles.
Yeah. Oh, keep in mind.
They became bait mice.
Mine was a snake.
Yeah.
It ate pinkies.
It ate pinkies and things bigger than that. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Michael.
Michael, what was your first pet, the one that you were responsible for?
Well, my mother didn't really trust me too much, so I technically got a Venus flytrap to see if I could get graduated into a pet.
You got
to
keep a plant alive first.
Yeah, they're hard to keep alive.
Yeah, we tried too. It burned out here in the studio.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I guess her mindset was, okay, this plant literally feeds itself, so there's no way you can screw this up. So I ended up giving it cotton candy warp and killed it.
I think we gave it meat.
Yeah, we gave it meat.
Fed it hamburger.
Yeah, it died. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, this is Ricky.
Ricky, what was your first pet, the one that you were responsible for?
A goldfish.
What happened?
And,
get a flush?
Yeah.
Burial at sea.
That was about 3 2 months. I came home, fed him too much food, and next morning, found him floating.
Yep. Yeah, well, as Archie Bunker always used to say, a goldfish is the best pet you can have. It doesn't bark. You don't have to take it out for a walk. And before you get too tired of it, it dies. Goldfish. No one can even. This song always makes me cry.
I hardly know what to say. But maybe it's.
Do you know in Asian countries, he's still a giant? That they will, I don't know if he does anywhere, up until a few years ago, Lobo would tour Asian countries, sell out shows.
Nice. Song about a dead dog.
Yeah. By the way, they're all true stories about it, that happened to him.
Henry Gross?
Yeah. Yeah, well, Shannon, Lobo.
But, Lobo and the dog named Boo?
Yeah, that's real.
There was a dog named Boo.
Yep. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, this is Ed. Ahoy, you guys, I've been listening to you guys forever.
Thank you, brother. Your first pet?
My first pet? I'm a Christmas baby. I was born on December 17th. I was probably about 8 or 9. My mom got me a parakeet. And I named it after my grandmother, Ruth.
Uh-huh.
It was like a Thursday. And on Friday, we set up our little plastic, pipe cleaner Christmas tree and put all the ornaments up. And that night, Mama spread the pine spray to make it smell good. And in the morning, old Ruth was dead.
You know what? I don't understand birds. But when my daughter was really small, I got her a finch. Its name was Cheeks, because it had red cheeks. Oh, cute little finch. Gave it a birdhouse and everything, and it chirped and did all that stuff. And then suddenly, it changed and would spend a lot of time in its nest and wouldn't come out. And it laid like 4 finch eggs that fell to the bottom of the cage, and then it died.
Circle of life.
Yep. I don't know what.
5 eggs and then it died?
Huh?
You said it had 5 eggs and then it died?
Yeah, it had more than one. Let's say 3-4 eggs.
Not at one time, right?
Not at one time.
Yeah, it probably got egg bound. What happens is once they start laying eggs.
Yeah.
Because the eggs don't actually harden until they get into the air.
Yeah.
Because I had to take my gray to the vet because they thought it got egg bound. But basically the egg will get stuck inside of them. And if it doesn't come out, they have to basically have surgery and pull it out.
Wow. I'm not doing that for a finch.
Not a $15 finch.
No, and the initial ones that fell down, it was really weird because you had an egg about the size of your pinky nail, and it had a yolk. Like you could fry it up in a frying pan. 277-9600. What was your first pet? Not the family's pet, but your first pet that you were responsible for. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, gentlemen, this is James. How are you?
James, the first pet?
Just like you, I had a snake. Mine was a ball python.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And how old were you when you had that?
Maybe 9, 10 years old.
How big did that baby get?
Before it escaped, it was probably 4 foot.
Yeah.
So it's full grown.
They will escape.
But the funny thing is, I got it, and this is for Haney. I think he's the one that likes the Locked Up Abroad show.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember the one about Tom Crutchfield, the guy that would bring in illegal snakes and stuff into the country?
I think so, yeah.
Well, he was based in Buckingham, and that's where I got the snake.
All right.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, let's not say anymore.
Famous snake.
277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
Hi, gentlemen. It's Howard. How you doing there?
Good, buddy. What was your first pet?
Another bird story. I'm about 17, 18. Went out and bought a cockatiel. And the cage, the food, the toys, all brought home. Kept it in my room. And it would chirp all morning. The problem was I worked third shift. I put him in the bathroom. But finally, after 6 months, I gave the bird, the food, the cage to somebody else and done with him.
Yeah, I had a cockatiel once, and the only thing that I remember about that cockatiel, it chirped and stuff, didn't sing, didn't learn to talk. It was whenever I was, like, on the telephone, I had to go and call the power company, or a friend would call, or a family member would call. The thing would scream to the top of its lungs until I got off the phone, and I'm not this cruel, but I wanted to grab that bird and just... 277.
Yeah, they can be so annoying.
So loud. And then you try to go and train it and put it, and the thing would bite you.
They're really strange animals. There was one, I think you saw it. The woman I was living with at the time had a parrot, Quaker parrot.
Yeah.
And this damn thing, it was too smart for its own good. And it would scream as soon as the sun came up.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I hated it.
See, it's not just a rooster that crows when the sun comes up.
And I'd go over and yell at it to shut up.
Yeah.
And then it'd, you know, pace back and forth. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then it'd start cussing under its breath.
Oh, hey.
And yeah, it was Connor does that.
And it was hilarious because it started.
Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, gentlemen, it's Tom. How you doing?
Good, Tom. What was your first pet, the one that you were responsible for?
It was an iguana.
Oh, they get big and they get mean.
Yeah, I bought him. He was probably only about 7 inches long, and he grew to be about 2 feet. And unfortunately, you had to clean the cage because they're dirty.
Yep.
So I had to take him out and put him in another cage. Well, after the second time he got out, and then I couldn't catch him for about 3 hours because he was climbing on the walls. And eventually, after a couple years, he got about 2 feet, and I got sick of doing that. So I threw him back in the canvas sack and brought him back to the same guy I bought it off of. And I said, hey, this is the same iguana I bought 2 years ago. You want him back? And he goes, oh, well, I got to inspect him. He's pretty healthy. And I'm like, no, trust me, he's healthy. And he's like, well, I need to take him out of the bag. And I said, you may want to put some gloves on. He didn't. Scratched the hell out of him, and the tail whapped him in the face, and they stuck him back in the bag, and he gave me $200 for him.
They use that tail as a weapon. That's like a bullwhip that goes at you when you get near those big iguanas. Got time for one more.
Are they smart enough to be mean?
Yeah, they're smart enough to be mean.
They seem pretty stupid.
They're all basically dumb. They're for our amusement. And when we aren't amused by them anymore, well, you got to let them go in the wild. Ahoy, who's this? Ahoy.
Brian,
hello. Your first pet. Hey.
My first pet was a dog. I actually turned 13. My parents thought I was responsible enough to get a pet. So I got to go pick out a mutt. It was about a 15-pound mutt. And irresponsible me ended up shooting my dog by accident through my garage.
Jeez.
Yeah, it was terrible. I stole my father's .22 rifle. Nobody was home at the time. And I took it in the garage, closed the garage door, and made a little bullseye on a stud. And shot the stud, and all of a sudden I hear my dog yelping.
Oh, no.
Yelping bad. So I thought my dog was afraid of the gunshot. So I rush in the house, put my dad's gun away in the closet, go back outside, and, you know, I grab my dog. I'm like, what's wrong? What's wrong? It's okay. And I'll be darned, I shot my dog down in the lower part of the stomach.
Oh no.
Yeah, it was terrible. I mean, terrible. So I'm going to hell, for one. Plus, my dad is going to... So far up me.
Yep.
So I ended up taking, we lived in Michigan at the time, and we had the fence posts, a little chain link fence. So I took some of my dog's blood and bent up a chain link post on the bottom so I could blame it on that because there was a hole in my dog's stomach.
Now you're going to hell.
How to cover up a dog murder.
Yes, you're covering up a dog murder.
I am. I did. I got away with it until I was about 30. My sister told my mother. We ended up putting my dog down because, you know, we had to squeeze her bladder in order to make her pee. And, you know, they never knew. My mom still don't believe my sister.
But you know the truth.
Yeah, it's terrible, man. I mean, terrible.
Sorry to hear that.
That's a hell of a thing for a kid.
Yep.
and carrying it with you for all those years.
And that was trembling. I picked
if you'd like to answer our question of the week,
and I aimed it at
ahoy
faithful head.
At stanandhaney.com.
But a just
Mark Haney in the news is next. 96K Rock.
To run. I wish they would shoot me instead.
From the Absolute Law Studios, 96K Rock, a Beasley Media Group station, 96.1 WRXK, Bonita Springs, Fort Myers, Naples, and Cape Coral. Rockin' Southwest Florida for 30 years. Man, it makes me feel old as f***. 96K Rock. Locked up abroad. Two unwitting men sign a shady employment contract with a mysterious man known as Beasley. Two decades later, they're still living with the consequences. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us this afternoon. Greatly appreciated. Mark Haney and the news coming up here in just a second. First, we got to update you on traffic for your drive home this afternoon.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right, let me study this for a second. Okay, they're all in Fort Myers. We've got at the Gulf Coast Town Center. A crash there in the lot right by Aurelio's Pizza. Then Fort Myers disabled vehicle, 6 Mile Cypress and Michael G. Rippey Parkway. And we're also dealing with a crash, Fort Myers, Daniels Parkway and State Road 82. That's right before you get into the Lehigh Acres area. And you.
And remember, if you're there close to dark, you want to make sure you get outside of Lehigh.
Exactly. You want to be on the west side of 82. If you don't live there. Mark Haney and the News, brought to you by...
And if you get stuck, roll them up and lock them.
Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. Starts right now.
This is the Evening News with Harry Reasoner and Barbara Walters, who's in California. Also Frank Reynolds and Howard K. Smith.
My name's Jerry King.
I'm Ann Compton.
I'm on the phone.
I'm Charles
Gibson. I'm somebody.
I'm Jerry King.
Right there.
I'm Barbara Walters.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Thursday, March 29th.
MMXVIII.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Time now for things you didn't know.
All right.
They're always trying to get one over on us.
Always.
And most of the time, it works. I'll give you an example. When we were kids, there was no such thing as bottled water.
Nope.
We drank out of hoses.
Yep.
But they convinced everybody you need to have bottled water.
Right, so that you would pay for water. Mm-hmm. You know, we had water fountains, hoses, mm-hmm. you know, drinking it right off the tap. And then somebody said, well, if I put it in a bottle, I can make money.
Mm-hmm. You see, water used to be provided by water fountains and things like that
mm-hmm.
because it is a necessity for a human being to live. But they made it work.
Yep.
They tried something else back in the 70s, and people just, they weren't having it. In 1974, and you may remember this.
Let me see.
There were more than 500,000 pay toilets in the United States.
Oh, absolutely.
They pushed it hard.
You had to pay. If you were at a bus station, if you were at like a cafeteria-style place to eat, if you were at any like shopping center or something like that, and you weren't supposed to use the restroom at the store, you'd go to the pay toilets, and you'd put the coins in. Yup.
Evidently, that's a bridge too far for us.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people would go underneath, like that little boy did.
Yep. Hey, we'll pay you for the bottled water, but we're not paying you for the privilege to go take a leak. Mm-hmm. That's where the line is, evidently. By 1980, they were almost completely gone.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen one in ages.
Nope. They tried it, thought they could get away with it. They couldn't. So a rare win for us.
Hear, hear.
Because if it worked, it would now just be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody would, well, of course you pay to use the toilet. There's so many of those. Within society, there are so many things like that. We don't think, oh, yeah, that's... Yeah. Perfectly natural.
And today they'd have the dollar changer, too, if it, you know, you didn't have the 50 cents.
Yeah. Perfectly natural to have a $9 cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm in the mood for a cheeseburger. What is that, $20?
Yeah. Back in the Depression days, That's what they could only afford, a cup of coffee. Now, you pay that, go broke.
I imagine there might be some people freaked out about this, but you got to plan ahead. Singapore Airlines, they realize anything can happen on a plane.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are people. Things happen.
Yep.
They have a special designated compartment on their planes designed to hold a body if someone dies in flight.
Makes perfect sense to me. You know, you never know when you're going to go, and sometimes it happens on a plane. What are you going to do? Keep them propped up right there in aisle 12, seat A?
Yeah. Weekend at Bernie's?
Yeah.
On Edna style?
Yeah. You put them in the compartment. Get them out of the sight of the passengers.
Not to worry, everyone. Yep. We have a place for him.
Yep. Close it down.
We are very fortunate to live in the state of Florida, a state that does not burden us with a state income tax.
That's true. There's only a few of them.
There are five states, only five, in the United States of America that do not have a state sales tax.
Really? Well, you know darn well they're going to get you somewhere else. They're probably ones that definitely have a state income tax, but no sales tax.
Those states are Oregon, Delaware, New Hampshire, Montana, and Alaska.
A lot of them are tough to get to.
Which ones?
Well, your Montanas, your Alaskas.
It's not hard to get to Montana.
Well, it's a long way out there, and there's not a whole lot out there.
Now, Alaska.
That's tough.
It's hard to get to because you got to cross international borders.
New Hampshire or Delaware, that's fine. But those two states, you know, and I haven't lived in either one of them, but something tells me they squeeze it out of you another way.
Yeah, I think they make you return bottles there.
Yeah, they did in Connecticut.
Major League Baseball. Everybody excited about Major League Baseball?
I know the Yankees are playing right now. I'll hopefully catch the last few innings when I get home.
Today is the first time since 1968. Where every single baseball team will play their first game on the same day.
Oh, wow.
And in 1968, it only happened because baseball altered the schedule to start 3 days later than planned after the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr.
And you know, you're thinking of talking about it right now. Two things that I just noticed with you saying that. One, opening day, I don't think has ever been in March. It's usually early April. And I thought the Cincinnati Reds always played the first game of the year, and the following day the other teams would play. But I don't ever remember opening day being in March, and I don't ever remember I thought Cincinnati was the one that would always start things off.
Hmm. You could have a pretty, pretty good acting career.
Thank you.
If you took the roles Nicolas Cage turned down.
Well, you always hear these, the roles that actors turn down. He was like a golden child. He couldn't act, but he would always seem to get
roles. Well, it's nepotism.
Yep. The Coppolas.
So, see if you think you could have a good career with Nicolas Cage's leftovers. He said thanks, but no thanks, to the role of Shrek.
Hmm.
Was not interested, despite being offered the part of Neo in The Matrix.
Hmm.
was not interested in playing Harry in Dumb and Dumber.
Well, he did that. He didn't want people to think,
I'm not dumb.
Yep.
And Aragorn in Lord of the Rings.
Jeez, he turned them all down.
The roles went to Mike Myers, Keanu Reeves, Jeff Daniels, and Viggo Mortensen. You could do pretty well.
Pretty well.
And I imagine that Lord of the Rings thing, that's probably just checks coming forever.
What a franchise.
Impressive, is it not? We all learn that New Zealand is a magical wonderland.
Yeah, that's what we hear.
That's where the world's elite are going while the world burns.
Well, you told me that that's where we should go.
Yeah, that's where they're all going.
Yep, New Zealand.
Mm-hmm. I think at some point everybody has the thought, boy, I'd like to be the best at something.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, be careful what you ask for. There is a man in England who just found out he's the best at something.
Really? What's he the best at?
He was just diagnosed with the, quote, world's worst case of gonorrhea.
He's number one.
His doctors are so impressed.
How impressed are they?
They say there has never been a strain so good at resisting antibiotics and every other treatment they throw at it. They can't believe it.
Amazing.
This is an all-star strain of gonorrhea.
What a champ.
The gentleman believes he may have picked it up from a lady he met in Southeast Asia.
Uh-oh. Gee.
Now, the scary thing here is that if this continues, and doctors really can't make a dent in this thing.
Oh, yeah, you get a super strain.
It means that your old friend gonorrhea has finally mutated into invincibility. That would take it from being a treatable STD into an untreatable STD. And it is, it's not pleasant. Can cause serious pain, infertility, and something doctors call pelvic inflammatory disease.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What's that?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
It hurts.
Worried for a second.
Yeah, no. I don't know. Don't worry about that.
Oh, you used to need a little bit of penicillin.
Yeah.
And this joker.
Yeah. Yeah. Ruins it for everybody.
I wonder if he got it from abroad in Southeast Asia, if he was up to something worse.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
I just want to see a slide under a microscope of something coming in there and wiping it out. That's all I want.
Yeah.
In a moment.
Hi, I'm Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill. 46-year-old Richard Quintanaro lives in High Point, North Carolina. And he made a call to emergency services by calling 911 last Thursday. And he had some big news for the dispatcher.
High Point 911, what is your emergency?
Yes, this is Jesus Christ, and I just broke into the Pizza Hut. I broke the window in, and I'm here. Jesus is here now. He's back to Earth.
All right, and so you don't work there?
No, I just broke in, had a pizza. I'm Jesus.
And what was your name again?
My name is Jesus.
What's your last name, Jesus?
Christ.
Okay, and what do you look like?
I look like Jesus. What else am I supposed to look like?
Why'd you do that?
Because I'm Jesus, I can do whatever I want. We're tired of Judases on this earth. We're going to clean this earth up. So what are you up to?
Well, where do you live at?
I don't. I'm from heaven.
How'd you get over to the Pizza Hut?
I'm from heaven, sir.
Okay. And did you break a front window?
Yeah, I broke the door window, sir.
And did you eat a pizza?
Yeah. Had a Mountain Dew.
Well, it turns out he's not from heaven. He's from Indiana. And when the police arrived, he was very cooperative.
Was he?
I guess he'd gotten his pizza and Mountain Dew, and so, you know, mission accomplished at that point. He's charged with breaking and entering and larceny.
We got a picture of Jesus? Ah, there he is.
Mm-hmm. Eh, you know, there's a resemblance.
Put that up against the Shroud of Turin, and then we'll let you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
You know what I'll...
Okay.
I realize that I could be accused of, well, perhaps being a bit... I don't know
what this word is. Misogynistic.
I can be accused of that. But clearly, there's a problem with lady drivers.
There is. I'm sorry.
A woman in Crestview, Florida.
Where is Crestview?
I think it's up by the Panhandle where all the UFOs go.
Okay.
She got in the car with her husband and daughter on Tuesday, but as women are wont to do, at the last minute, she realized she'd left something inside the house. So she ran back in to grab whatever it is that's so important and left the car idling. She forgot something else, too.
What?
She forgot to put the car into park. She left it in drive. The car wound up rolling into the swimming pool of their apartment complex with the husband and daughter inside. Fortunately, her family got out safely. But the car was completely submerged and wrecked.
I'm telling you, there are exceptions to every rule. And in that case, there is with women drivers. There are 1 or 2% that might be good drivers.
Mm-hmm. Danica Patrick, not among them.
Not among them. But it's almost like, and there's, trust me, there's some bad men drivers. But it's almost like a skill, because women are a lot better at guys doing and other things that guys are. But for driving an automobile, I think a lot more thought process and a lot more things are going on with a woman driving than with a guy. It's more natural for a guy, less natural for a woman to drive.
Well, so much noise going on inside a woman's head.
Yeah, and there's so many distractions, and they start thinking about things.
Yep.
And they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, paying attention and driving.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, there are exceptions to every rule, but women, and you might not have ever gotten a speeding ticket or anything, it's just a different type of task for you.
And, again, I prefaced it. I know that some people might accuse me of being...
I don't know what this word is. Misogynistic. Misogynistic. A new word to me. What do you make? I was reading it the wrong way.
It's never too late to learn a new word.
I know the word.
And no, you don't.
I was reading it as miso, like some sort of disease.
Well, it is a disease.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill, it's
Speaking of the ladies, you know, we recognize that that lady did something wrong. We've got to be fair and point it out when a lady does something right.
Sure, it happens once in a while.
Allow me to introduce you to a successful professional woman.
Wow. Who might that be?
She is 37 years old.
All right.
Her name is Janice, or is it Janice?
Hey,
I'll just go with Janice.
Thank you.
Gabco-Bowles.
Oh, hyphenated, huh?
Again, she's a professional woman. And she works at Kohl's Department Store in Montville, Connecticut, as their shoplifting prevention supervisor.
All right, in charge.
It's a very important position.
It certainly is.
She is the supervisor.
Yes, sir.
So, there you have an example of a successful 37-year-old professional woman.
Yes.
Until a few months ago. She ran into some legal trouble when she was arrested.
Arrested?
Yes.
What was she arrested for?
Shoplifting.
What?
Yeah, she works as the shoplifting prevention supervisor at the Kohl's, and it turns out she stole 135 separate items between March of 2016 and last December. And what she would do is steal the items, but she didn't want the items, so she'd simply return them for cash. And every time she'd return an item that she'd stolen, somehow the store's surveillance cameras had some sort of glitch.
Malfunction.
What a coincidence. She wound up pocketing at least $55,000 from the store that employed her. Perhaps because the cameras had that glitch every time with 135 different items, her managers eventually put two and two together, and she was in court on Monday proclaiming her innocence, pleading not guilty to first-degree larceny.
Jeez, see, when you try to get ahead, ladies, there's always one bad apple there.
You've come a long way, baby.
Yeah.
And that's the news for today, Thursday, March 29th.
Double M, XV, Triple I.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
There he is, little Monty Haney, telling it like it is.
Now, I don't know how she can be found guilty. Obviously, she was distraught because of Trump and the Russians.
Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. We're Stan and Haney.
Next on Locked Up Abroad. Two unwitting men sign a shady employment contract with a mysterious man known as Beasley. Two decades later, they're still living with the consequences. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. Roger Marley coming in at 6 o'clock. He'll take you through your evening. Let's get one more look at traffic for your drive home this afternoon.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Okay, we'll start in Fort Myers where there is a crash. Metro Parkway and Crystal Drive. Then we'll head to Lehigh Acres, Hit and Run, Harry Avenue North, and Lee Boulevard. Then we got another crash in Lehigh Acres, Gunnery Road, and Lee Boulevard. And we move to Bonita Springs. Crash at the Walden Center Drive, the 23,000 block of Walden Center Drive. And one more in Bonita Springs for you. Crash, Old 41 Road. It's right near Production Circle.
and you are up to date.
Now, when I was a lad and old Shep was a pup, over hills and valleys we strayed. Just a boy and his dog. We were both full of fun. We growed up together that way. I remember the time at the old swimming hole.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I would have drowned beyond doubt.
Yeah, polio running rampant.
But old Shep was right there.
Yeah.
To the rescue he came. He jumped in and helped drag me out. Now the years rolled along, and at last he grew old. His eyesight was, well, was fast growing dim.
Yeah, put him down.
Then one day the doctor looked at me and said, "I can't do no more for him, Jim."
Thought he was a doctor, a vet, what?
Country doctor.
Country.
So with trembling hand, I picked up my gun.
Oh.
And aimed it at Shep's faithful head. But I just couldn't do it. I wanted to run. I wished they'd shoot me instead. So I threw down that old gun and ran right up to his side. He laid his faithful old head right on my knee.
Faithful old head.
And friends, I stroked the best pal that a man ever found.
This is heart-wrenching.
I even cried, so I could scarcely see. Now old Shep, he knew.
Organ music.
Knew he was going to go. Because he reached down and licked at my hand.
Don't you? Salty.
Then he looked up at me and just as much as to say, I hate it too, but
you gotta do it.
You understand.
Yeah. Doggy heaven.
And the morning, old Shep, will I run.
Jeez.
But yep. If dogs have a heaven,
yep.
There's one thing I know. Old Shep has a wonderful home.
I don't want to ever see my mother have to go through this again. Never, Jeffrey! Jeffrey! I hate you! Mother! I hate you!
It's time once again for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy like it used to be on 96K-Rock.
Well, there's a few words I'd change. I don't want to bore you with a whole lot of them. I think the language could use some updating. I think we should have words. Well, I think Kleenex, the plural of Kleenex, should be Kleenices. I think we should have cheese fondant for people who don't like cheese fondue. I think hernia ought to be hysnia. And hysterectomy ought to be herderectomy. That would straighten that out right away. Now, just in closing, the one area of words, the airlines have given us some examples of word manipulation that you wouldn't believe. The airlines are full of these things like deplane. Wonderful word, deplane. I've never deboated, I've never debussed. I've never de-rickshawed, but... by God, I've deplaned.
We'll be deplaning through the forward door.
I'm already on deplane. They do tell you that, don't they? Get on the plane. Get on the plane. I'm getting in the plane. Let evil Knievel get on the plane.
Have yourselves a great evening. Lord willing, we'll be back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We'll do it all over again. We're the Stan and Haney Show. 96K Rock. And we leave you this afternoon with this. Everybody had the family pet, but you were given the responsibility of your first pet. What was it? 277-9600. Not the families. It was your job. And I'll tell you what mine was. I was allergic to everything. So my
That's true. And you grew up on a farm.
Yep.
Allergic to everything.
My first pet was a boa constrictor. My dad knew a guy.
Your dad knew a lot of guys.
That got a reptile place.
I was going to say, he knew more than one.
And he said, I need you to get my son a boa constrictor. Not the one you see in the little pet shop, the little 12-inchers that grow. But I need something that's a little bit larger than that and give him the responsibility to take care of something. And he said, well, get it in. Give me a day to get the ticks off of it because it's just been shipped in. Boa constrictor was a five-footer. Had it for a lot of years.
What was its name?
Eve. It got loose in the house one time and lived in the attic for about 3 months and grew another foot. When it finally came down...
Wonder what it found in the
attic.
Took
care of all the birds' nests that were up in the gutters and came back down and was looking for food. I just simply picked it up, put it back in the cage. First pet, Haney.
That was my responsibility?
That was your responsibility.
It remains one of my unfulfilled goals from childhood. I always wanted a German Shepherd.
Yeah.
It just got in my head. I don't know if it was Rin Tin Tin or what, but I always wanted one. And my parents decided that I was ready to have my own dog. And I think I may have been like 12. And took me to the Humane Society. And there was a dog there that looked sort of like a German Shepherd.
But not quite.
Had some German Shepherd in him.
Right.
But smaller.
Yep.
I don't know where the dog came from. Obviously, I got it from the Humane Society. But it had issues.
Oh, yeah.
It was a good boy.
Right, but had issues.
He was a crapper.
Couldn't be house trained.
Yeah, no matter what I did.
Yep.
And I mean, I could take that dog out, but when I took the dog out, his idea was it's playtime.
Right.
It just never connected.
Bring him back in the house.
He assumed the position. Yep. You know, hindquarters quivering. So, I had a lot of fun with that dog. I liked that dog, but...
had to go.
One day, I think it was a Saturday morning, and I had been encouraged to do extracurricular and volunteer stuff, and so I had joined the Civitan Club, and all of us went to work that day as volunteers for the Special Olympics. And so I think I'm doing this good thing, and we're there probably about 5 hours. Went there early in the morning and then come home that afternoon feeling good about myself. Where's Rocky?
Yeah.
Well, son,
he went to the country. Yeah.
And that sticks with me. You see what happens when you do something nice?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Get something taken away from you.
Yep. That's the lesson I learned.
This guy lives right up the street. Lobo. His son's my golfing buddy. One of them.
So does Lobo listen to us?
He's familiar with us.
Lobo knows my name.
Yep. D-Train, first pet that was your responsibility.
Rodents.
Oh, jeez.
Your favorite.
What, did you have a gerbil?
No. Who do hamster? I look like, Richard Gere? No.
My sister had a hamster.
Yeah.
This happened before pet stores were responsible and only carried one sex of mouse. I bought two mice, and before I knew it, I had about 20.
Oh, yeah, that happens a lot, or happened a lot.
Yep, you end up with little pinkies.
Yep, the pinkies.
They're in a 50-gallon aquarium, and it got full pretty quick. And at some point, I think they were dropped off at a pet store that specialized in reptiles.
Ahoy, who's this?
This is Michael. Well, my mother didn't really trust me too much, so I technically got a Venus flytrap to see if I could get graduated into a pet.
Yeah, you
got
to keep a plant alive first.
Yeah, they're hard to keep alive.
Yeah, we tried too. It burned out here in the studio.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess her mindset was, okay, this plant literally feeds itself, so there's no way you can screw this up. So I ended up giving it some cotton candy water and killed it.
I think we gave it meat.
Yeah, we gave it meat.
Fed it hamburger.
Yeah, it died.
Blue skies. Yeah. Every day's a gift.